I would like you to take your Bibles and turn to St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 1 to verse 10. I was mindful to slice the reading because of, in interest of time, but I prefer to slice my sermon and not slice the reading of the word. Because it's good for the younger ones, really, who do not know the story. But this is a story that I'm sure is familiar to most of the adults. But we want to take the time to read the first 10 verses. So I'm going to invite you to stand with me. That is Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and verse 1 to 10. If your Bible is like mine, page 1,436, if it make it any easier. But give you a chance to stand, because I don't want you to fall asleep on me, really. But I'll read all 10 verses. I was trying to not read all 10, but I have to. Very important. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was very rich. Well, I had very dear. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. I guess CNN probably was there. Because he was little of stature. He was very short. And he ran before or ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place and looked up and saw him, he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, hurry up and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts as we send our thoughts on the subject, changed from inside out. Father, we thank you for changing us and making us into who you want us to be. Oh God, we thank you and we thank you and we thank you. We thank you for these 44 years of ministry, changing lives, getting people to turn unto you. And Father, we're praying that in the years to come and in the year to come, that we'll see lives, more lives change. Oh God, that there'll be a revival and people will turn unto you and be saved and know the joys of sin forgiven. Know what it is to live a transformed life and the blessings of a transformed life. Father, bless in this hour and add to this message that which is necessary to make it complete and take away from my thoughts those things which are not necessary for this occasion. These mercies we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Zacchaeus, we are told, was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up into a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. I wonder how many of the children know this chorus, because we are now blessed with a number of new worship songs and the old worship song, the old choruses that we favored, the children don't really know them. But the story of Zacchaeus is that of a man whose life was changed from inside out after he met the Lord Jesus Christ. As we understand it, he was a small man. He was rich. He was chief among the publicans, a tax collector. Like Zacchaeus, they were not loved people. Because they were considered the worst type of sinners. Because taxpayers or tax collectors back then were allowed by law or were permitted to exact from the people whatever amount they wanted after they got enough for the government. So if they were to collect $100 for the government, they could take up to $100 for themselves, and that was quite normal and legal, it seems. So the people did not like tax collectors. And up until this day, people don't like tax collectors. For reasons unknown to me, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but because of his size was short and the size of the crowd, his chances of seeing Jesus was not good. Because, you know, those press people with the long camera thing and hitting your head, and, you know, well, not really. But his chance of seeing Jesus were just not good. So he ran ahead of the crowd and went up into a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus. Now, as we understand it, and I Googled up, let me see the size of a sycamore tree. And the size of a sycamore tree, the body was approximately 8 to 10 feet in diameter. And it was as tall as 75 feet tall and 75 feet wide. Something like a Christmas tree, you know, and it grows up and very tall, very big. And how Zacchaeus got up into that tree, only God knows. A little man up in that tree. It was, you know, not easy. But when he reached to the spot, when Jesus reached to the spot where Zacchaeus was, he stood up and looked and called him by name. Zacchaeus, come down quickly. I must stay at your house today. So Zacchaeus came down and at once he welcomed him gladly. When the people saw it, they began to murmur and say that Jesus has gone to be with a man who is a sinner. The two men, Jesus and Zacchaeus, had never met each other. And yet, Jesus knew him by name. Jesus called him by name. Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. As Jesus called Zacchaeus' name, so it is that Zacchaeus is calling you today and telling you, come down, come to me. But people are not really listening. It is surprising to me, really, sometimes I hear pastors preach and wonder how they get it to say that Zacchaeus was a proud man. He went up into a tree because he didn't want to associate with the people. You know, it's amazing that two people could look at a story and see something totally different. Zacchaeus, a rich man going up in a tree? How could that be proud? It is not. I'm a pastor and my wife thinks of me very highly. And she don't want to see me climb a tree. So she bought a ladder and said, you use that ladder, step ladder. Then the ladder is not enough. She went and she bought a long stick, a harvest stick, you know, that has a thing, is about 10 feet long. And you put it up in the tree and pull it. She don't want to see me climb trees. It doesn't become you, you know. You're climbing up in a tree. So, she just don't want to see me climb a tree. So she gave me this long stick to harvest. So I thought to myself, how could people, and they say how that you got proud people, you go up in a tree, and you don't want to associate with people. Wrong! Wrong conclusion. Well, that's the way they see it. You know, it's like these days, you know, you have panelists and, you know, they have about Trump. And you hear the people on CNN say one thing. And you hear the people on Fox saying another thing. You think it's two different stories. The same identical situation. And you hear two different stories. So it is. This man was not a proud man. You just think of it. The premier is not here. But you think of the premier up in a mango tree picking mango. You don't. No. That's not being proud. Zacchaeus up in a tree holding a 10 foot, you know, 8 to 10 feet the size of the tree. And he grows up. The man needed a ladder. But I see him as a very humble man. Going up into a tree to see Jesus Christ. In keeping with our subject, change from inside out, and keeping with our theme, there are four things, very briefly, I would like to bring to your attention from this story of Zacchaeus. One, observe. Those of you who are writing, number one, this is what you want to write. Observe his curiosity, verse 3. He was very curious. In that he came of his own accord, nobody invited him. He was not poor. And if you want to write under observe his spiritual curiosity, observe his spiritual curiosity. Number one, he came of his own accord. Nobody invited him. Number two, he was not poor. He did not need a handout from Jesus. Number three, he was not sick. He was not asking healing for himself nor his children. Number four, Jesus did not call him. I say those four things to say this. Nobody invited him. These days, we have trouble inviting people and getting people come to church. Nobody invited this man. He came of his own accord. Number two, he was not poor. He didn't need a handout. A lot of people came to Jesus because of the bread and fish. And after the bread and fish was finished, they were gone. Then number three said he was not sick. And he did not come asking to be healed or asking for his children to be healed. A lot of people came and asked him, Master, could you please? They just wanted to come to Jesus because they wanted to be healed. He didn't want any healing. He was not sick. These days people come and they get healed. And after they get healed, they're gone. You don't see them. I tell the story here at Shiloh many times. And I think of a particular man who was in the hospital for a very long time. He was very, very sick. Long time. Myself and other pastor, like Pastor Heiligo, visit him regularly. And he said the term, listen, if I get out of here, how are I going to serve God and I going to get saved? The man got saved in hospital. Guess what? Jesus healed him. The man came out of hospital and never darkened the church door. Well, he's been since dead. But it's amazing. People would make any kind of promise because they want something from God. People come to church for different reasons. And when they get what they want, they leave. If they get what they want, they're going to leave. And if they don't get what they want, they're going to leave anyhow. I wouldn't go into any detail. But I'll tell you one little story. Where my wife and I took a young lady in. She said she can't come to church because she didn't have any clothes. And we bought her outfit. Top to bottom. And she came. Then she said, she stopped coming. What happened? That they all want a new one. Bought a new outfit. And I think we did it four times. And then after a while, she said, them, they're all, are you expecting me to come again? I said, listen, get there how you can. We left her with the outfit and she never came back. I don't know what she did with them. But anyway, I'm just saying. People come and if they get what they want, they're going to leave. And if they don't get what they want, they're going to leave. When you have to hunt them down. The people who are here, members of Shiloh, are the people who we did little or nothing for. They came of their own accord because they want to be here. If people are here because you have to drag them and get them here, brethren, you might as well quit because they're going to stop. Because of myself, I had four suits. Four. And I just change them. And when a month have five Sunday, well, you know, one of them going to have to be wearing two times in a month. And me going to buy you a new outfit every month? I didn't do it for my wife. And so if you want to stop, go ahead, stop. Because I can't afford it. Maybe that's why I'm so poor. But anyway, Lord, please forgive me for saying that. But you know, and we did so much for people. Listen, we paid people airline tickets and all kind of things to go places and all kind of things. And then when you finish, you lose them. You say, you know what? People are going to have to go buy their own airline ticket. And so when we build this church, I said, let me tell you all something. In the past, Shiloh had been providing for people. And people have been asking what Shiloh could do for me. It is now time for you to ask, what can I do for Shiloh? You see, my vision for Shiloh was this from the very beginning. But we got that because it was given to us, and beggars are not choosers. So we turn it to a fellowship hall. So they came and they told us what they are going to do. And so I had no choice, and that's what they said they're going to build, but that was not my to my likeness, really. But from the original, from the beginning, this was my vision. And God be thanked that he allowed me to do it. And guess what? We are still paying for it. Because beggars are not choosers. When you want what you want and you want it, go to the bank and stop borrowing from people. A lot of pastors were not with me because they said that. You're not supposed to borrow money to build a house for God. Utter nonsense. God be thanked that we only have 3 more years to pay for this. Amen. And we are paying through our nostrils, but it's what I wanted for the Lord. You know, some people, they beg what they need and they buy what they want. Jesus did not call this man. Jesus called Peter, James, John, Matthew, and different one. He came of his own accord. Amen. 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 People need to come of their own accord. And brethren, God, please forgive me, but I stopped running behind people. Because I run behind people for 40 years. And as a result, I don't know how Guineas have not had in the book of Guineas as yet, but I've had the world largest prostate. And this is no exaggeration. When I went to the States, when the doctor saw me, he said, wow, I had all the records of the prostate test that I did. He said, you have had a lot of PSA tests. And your prostate, when they measure it, he said, it's 5 times the size it should be. There was no measurement for it there more. It was the largest prostate that I had ever seen. Why? Running behind people. Pastor Wayne, stop running behind people. If they don't want to come, leave them alone. God be thanked that they were able to do something with my prostate. I don't know what they did. But 4 years ago, they work on it and it's going good. The last test I had, they say it's 1.5. The last test I did here, they tell me that it was over 20 or something. When I got to the stage, they tell me it's five times the size. They had nothing to measure it. You got to leave people alone at times. Let them do what they want. Zacchaeus does not appear to have any need. He was just curious. People need to come seek God out of curiosity. And stop waiting for people to beg them and you preach to them and you have to go and pick them up and do everything for them. Number two, let's move on here. Observe. Observation number two. His strong determination. Verse 4. Well, that was verse 3, verses 2 and 3. We see his curiosity. Verse 4, we see his strong determination. He wanted to see Jesus and nothing could stop him, not even the press. If CNN and Fox and MSNBC were there, he would have gone around them. The press, well, they were not there. This is just him. But nothing could stop him. He knew exactly the route what Jesus was going to take. I guess it was a one-way street and he could not divert. So he went around and went up in the tree for the Lord he wanted to see. I see here, a humble man seeking the Lord. So if you want something to write on number two, observe his strong determination. He wanted to see Jesus. Nothing could stop him. Not even the press. He perhaps knew the Old Testament where it says, Isaiah 55 and verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon the Lord while he's near. People are not seeking the Lord anymore. Especially here in Nevis and St. Kitts where things are good. Brethren, when things were bad in our times, we had to seek the Lord. Because things were real, real bad. I'm not getting into that really. I'm not going to talk about it. The former premier is here. He knew how bad things were. Hardly any roads. Brethren, there was no such thing as running water in anybody's house. There was no indoor toilet. Some people didn't have any. Take the time to tell you a little story and give you a little humor. But a pastor was telling children the story that God is everywhere. He said, God is everywhere? Pastor, you sure God is everywhere? He said, yeah. He said, God is in your kitchen. God is everywhere. He said, little boy said, Pastor, so you mean God is in our toilet? He said, yeah. He said, no, I'll catch you with a lie because we don't got none. But things were real, real, real bad. And we sought the Lord. We went after him. Now people have toilet inside. They have 3-bedroom and 4 bathrooms and things. Water running everywhere. No wonder your houses get flooded. We in the house never got flooded because we didn't have any water inside. We didn't have water anyhow to flood anything. And so you're privileged. So we need to seek the Lord. Nicodemus went seeking the Lord by night. John 3:4. Nicodemus went seeking the Lord. People need to start seeking the Lord, brethren. Matthew 5:6. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. People are not hungering and thirsting after righteousness anymore. People don't care about the word of God. People don't care about the house of God. These days we have comfortable churches with air conditioning and soft pews. Brethren, we knew nothing about pews. All we had were benches. And when I hear people coming and talking about these benches, just listen, don't insult God and don't insult us. These are not benches. These are pews. Benches was those hard old stuff that you have to be turning. And those of us who don't have much padding, man, you have to be turning and turning. You don't turn here, you're sitting down on padded pew. These are not benches, these are pews. Amen. Get it straight. I see some churches with some broad padded chairs. My goodness. And the churches are half empty. Well, some 3/4 empty. And so, brethren, you know, seek the Lord. You're living in luxury. Number 4. See how fast we're getting through. Number 3. Observe his personal identity. Verse 3. He was short in stature, about half the size of Jesus. I look up Google, and they said Zacchaeus was about half the size of Jesus. He was a tax collector. People recognized him by his size. And the important thing is, Jesus called him by name. Jesus is calling you by name today. He knows your name. He knows every hair on your head. Maybe you know some people who are identified by their personal characteristics. And you may judge them because of their particular characteristics. Like, for example, some people are short, some people are tall. Some people are handsome, some are beautiful. Some are not so handsome, some are not so beautiful. Some have blonde hair and red hair and all kinds of different color here. I never see more color here this morning, these days. I'm sure God didn't give them some of them colors. But some people are rich and some people are poor. But the sad reality in our Western culture is that we often assign value to a person based on their physical appearance. Brethren, it's not the physical appearance, it's the inside. What is in the heart? We have people whose hearts are darkened. Jesus is still calling and he's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God is looking for you. He's waiting for you. The Bible says in Numbers 6:25, that God desire his face to shine upon you and upon us. And as an island, and as a nation, a shining face is a beautiful description of someone who is happy to see you, you know, somebody's happy. And people are not happy to see Jesus anymore. Tell people about Jesus Christ and tell them about church and getting saved. Seems like a bitter pill, a bitter medicine. And people don't want to hear about God anymore. I don't want to hear it. And try to talk to someone, and I don't want to hear anything. I don't. Brethren, we need to wake up. We need to seek the Lord. Number four, finally, observe his spiritual destiny. Verse 9. You might want to look again. It says in verse 9, Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to your house. For as much as he's also the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." This is what our mission is. Seeking and saving the lost. And brethren, it's not that we are trying to get something out of you. We are trying to put something within you. We have examined his curiosity, his determination, his identity, and now his supernatural destiny. Brethren, a person's destiny is more than an end result or achieving some goal in life. Destiny is the driving force that shapes a person's or define a person's life. What is your destiny? You could be a different person today if you would only turn to Jesus Christ. I often ask myself, what would have happened if I did not take heed unto the word of the Lord? And by the way, the Lord came seeking me. Someone came after me. I didn't go out there seeking the Lord. Shame on me. And so I'm asking, parents, get the children to seek the Lord. Fill my heart to see all these children from Cherry Gardens. Hoping that you'll be able to come again. We'll be delighted to have you in Sunday school and see our island get changed. And it's only going to be done through Jesus Christ. For those of you who are writing and you want to write something on number four, here are three things that you can write. Number one, he was changed inside out. Change is constant. And people like change. But the only change they don't like is changing their lives. Change, change, change. We make changes every day. People change their looks. Sometimes I don't recognize people because I told somebody recently, I'm sorry, I didn't recognize you. You look so different. One day they look one way and they look another way. And boy, and style, oh my goodness, I wonder where to get all this money from. But you know, you change your phone. You change your style. People change their partner. You know, some people, you know, change your partner every minute. And even some people change your husband, they change your wife. 2 mornings ago, I got up and kissed my wife and I look at her, I saw all this beauty. I said, "Darling, what would you think of me if I were to tell you one day that I'm going to divorce you?" She said, "I think you've gone senile." I said, "I think it's more than that, darling. I gone crazy. Call the police and tell them. If I ever tell you that I'm going to divorce you, call the police and tell them my husband gone crazy. Because I want to be married for 50 years. And if I stop at this time, I got to go start all over. And I doubt I'm going to get to age to five. Much less 50. So, people change their partner, you know, like crazy. And change their boyfriend every minute, you know. And change their girl. Change, 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 change. But when it comes to changing their lives, they don't want that. Transformation is what Zacchaeus had. And transformation is what you need. So number two is, number one, he was changed from the outside. He was transformed into a new man, number two. And number three, he became a new man in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. And all things have become new. Transformation is at the heart of Christianity. It is the heart, in the heart, when Jesus Christ worked in our heart. And that's what Jesus Christ was teaching. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 talks about that we must not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And don't get yourself back into the world again. Paul directs us into the way to towards transformation. And that is our mission here at Shiloh. And I'd like to see our entire island change. This is God's will for you. Think about a caterpillar. Zacchaeus was like a caterpillar. You know, caterpillars, oh my goodness. They just eat up everything. And I watch caterpillar and they just eat. But one day the caterpillar hang on a stem and it turns into a beautiful butterfly. That is what God wants to do for you. Transform you into a beautiful person. Brethren, please, let God change your life. I'm just delighted to see our Deputy Governor General in that God blessed her. Turn her into a beautiful person in that the Deputy Governor General is an honorable person. And I thank God for answering my prayer. Earlier this year, someone said to me, listen, Pastor Mina, you know, the Deputy Governor General is going to resign. And they're looking for a new Governor General, and they're calling your name, banding your name. I say, you serious? He said, yeah. I said, let me have to call my lawyer that I don't have to write you all, you know. Me! People like Hylita Liebert and Miss Walters. Miss Walters' name again? Clara Walters. They are the people for that type of office. Brethren, and I'm honored. And when I heard that this is... the going to be the Governor General. I said, thank the Deputy Governor. I said, thank God for answering my prayer. Your Honor, may God bless you. Children, learn from this person. I looked up to this lady for years. She's a friend of the family. But you got to let God work in your life. And don't get yourself involved in all kind of crazy activities. You will never be able to make it to the top. God wants to make something beautiful all of your life. God wants to change your life. And I pray that you look at this lady and admire her and purpose in your heart. I want to be like her. Listen, I'm serious. When I was told what I was told, I said, listen, that job the most suit people like Miss Hylita Liebert and Miss Clara Walters and them, not me. And I was glad when they said, I honest with you, I am so happy for you, Mrs. Then they told me that somebody called me later and said, they're going to honor you for Independence Day. I said, okay. I was mindful to say, sorry, I don't. But I thought it would be rude for me not to accept it. And then when I realized that I'm going to be meeting the Deputy Governor General, I said, thank God I did accept it. Because she's just such a noble person. May God bless you. And I encourage you, young people, look at her.